All right, we get ready for game two between the Giants and the Cardinals. Giants won last night 8-2. Wasn't that easy. Five runs in the eighth inning broke it open for the Giants. Lineup today, Wade, Belt, Peterson, Yastrzemski, Longoria now up in the five spot. Crawford, Gonzalez, Walton gets his start today at second base. Donovan Walton and Joey Bart is back behind the plate. A pleasure to bring in Joe Sheehan, and we love his newsletter, and no one analyzes the game better than Joe, and he puts that newsletter out a few times a week, and you should subscribe. Joe, nice to have you on. How are you?
Good, Marty. What's going on today?
Well, Mauricio Dubon, that's what's going on. And, you know, he was a crowd favorite here and a local kid from Sacramento and first player from Honduras and all that and hustled and, you know, really had a tremendous last week. And we just found out just before you came on that he's been traded to the Houston Astros. How about that?
Yeah, I was really on him. He had that great partial season during the, excuse me, Marty, the pandemic year. And I really thought he would turn into maybe another, like, one of these Chris Taylor types who plays six positions and steals bags and hits for some power. And the bat just didn't really come around the last couple of years. I look at this trade for the Astros, and I wonder if this is them maybe giving up on Nico Goodrum. They signed Goodrum away from the Tigers in the offseason, and he hasn't really played that well as a utility guy for them. Jeremy Pena has a knee issue. I wonder if they're baking in some insurance there as well at shortstop. So, you know, it's not a huge trade. It's very much a baseball trade. You know, a lot of the trades we see nowadays are, okay, we want to trade this contract for these prospects. This is more of a baseball trade. Papierski's a high OBP, low power type, and those guys don't always adapt well to the majors. I do think anytime the Giants pick up a hitter, kind of raise their eyebrows a little bit because they've had so much success with these, you know, Lamont Wade, Austin Slater types who hadn't had a great prospect pedigree, and then they turn into good players for the Giants.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And Bruce Jenkins and I were just talking about it, how the Giants work that roster. Joe, I think better than anybody. They've got guys. They had Mike Ford. They had him for got him from Seattle for a week and sent him back to Seattle. And now they've got Walton at shortstop or second base today, and probably Listella will be here tomorrow, and Walton will probably go back to Seattle tomorrow.
This is the modern way of running teams. I mean, I can remember growing up. I don't want to brag, but I mean, basically knew everybody in the major leagues as a kid. Right. It was something we just, you know, there were 25 guys on a team, 24 for a couple of years in the 80s, and you could know all of them. And now, you know, every team is using 30 guys a week at minimum. Some are using 32 to 35. They're constantly churning guys, using up options. They've changed that rule this year, but it won't matter that much. Using 14 and 15 and 16-man bullpens by using up and down guys. It's a skill for the teams, and it's absolutely a way of getting the most out of every single roster spot every single day. I just don't know if it's the greatest thing for the fans when you come to the ballpark and you have no idea who's on your team.
Well, winning is the best deodorant, as John Madden said, and this ball club is winning. And I want to get your take on the Giants. I know we're only 32 games in. We've got 130 more to go. In the West, you can throw a blanket over the top three. And actually, they're doing better this year than they did last year at this time, which it should tell you something about where the thing ended up with so many wins. But what's your take on the West right now, especially the Giants?
Yeah, I think long-term, these three teams are going to be relatively close throughout the year. I do still think the Dodgers, their depth will play out over the course of the year. They'll end up winning the division, but the Giants are going to be right there. I mean, remember, this team won 107 games last year. There's a limit to how much a team is going to fall from that level. Even if you look at the talent and say, I'm not sure if I buy into all this, you're just not going to fall off to 75, 76 wins from that kind of level. You look at the moves they made in the offseason, and they've really worked out so far. Carlos Rodon, as long as he can pitch, is one of the best left-handers in the game. It's just a question of whether the shoulder will hold up. You know, Alex Cobb had it. I was watching the game. What was it, a groin injury covering third base? Mm-hmm. But he's come back now, and you know, he looked very good the other day. Logan Webb is following up that big year last year and showing that it wasn't a fluke. So that starting rotation is pretty much rock solid. It's not deep. I don't, you know, they've got to get into, you know, Sam Long and guys like that. I'm not sure that's going to work that well for them. Jacob Junis, I believe he was sent down. Is he back up, Marty?
Yep, he goes today against Dakota Hudson. his fourth game, and Joe is 15 innings, 10 hits, 2 runs, a homer, 3 walks, 15 strikeouts, and, you know, batting average against 192. He's a pitcher, and he goes for the Giants today against Hudson.
So, yeah, building in some of that rotation depth is going to be important for them. And of course, you know, the offense. This is a team that 3 years ago, I looked at the roster and said, I don't think they can score. 2 years ago, I looked at the roster and said, I don't think they can score. And they just keep printing runs. It's really all about the approach at the plate for me, Marty. This is a team with the fourth best walk rate and the ninth best strikeout rate in baseball. So they're able to work deep counts, get good pitches to hit, but also not pick up the strikeouts you do when a team usually has that kind of approach. You know, Lamonte Wade Jr. just came off the DL, 4 walks and 1 strikeout. Guys just don't do that in today's game. So I look at the Giants as a triumph of the organizational approach. The most coaches in baseball, a really great communication staff between the front office and the manager's office and those coaches, they are really doing this whole team thing like the Rays did, you know, a decade ago, like the Dodgers have built under Andrew Friedman. So, you know, the baseball team is going to reflect that. When your organization is that well-run, your team is going to be well-run, and it's going to win games.
Boy, they're doing it. The team that gives me a little bit of hesitation, the Padres. I can't figure them out. Eric Hosmer, boy, look at the year he's having, Joe. And Machado, I think, has been just awesome. Pitching has been okay. Darvish got lit up last night, but the Padres came back and beat Atlanta. Atlanta's really struggling. Give me something on the Padres. What do you see there?
You know, things are holding up for them this year. Remember, last year they were chasing the Dodgers for 3 months, and then they were in the wild card race for another one, and the pitching fell completely apart. Darvish got hurt. Mackenzie Gore never launched. Blake Snell was hurt for a lot of the year, and they just didn't have the depth to overcome that. Now, this year what's happened is they've been stable. They've used 5 starters really on rotation, and they just got Mike Clevinger back, and you know that's a true number 2 starter based on the work he did in Cleveland before the trade. So if they keep everybody healthy, I mean, that rotation is going to be one of the best in baseball. I mean, Joe Musgrove has really turned himself into a star since, you know, leaving Pittsburgh. And, you know, I think that was a really good trade for them. He's not somebody who gets a lot of attention, but, you know, he threw the no-hitter last year, comes in, throws strikes, can go deep into games. That's the thing about this team. They actually have guys who, Blake Snell notwithstanding, can work deep into games. I like their depth, and they had to build in that pitching depth after what they saw last year. Now, you mentioned Hosmer. You know, the offense is good. It's not great. Remember, they're going to get Fernando Tatis back, and they're holding on. They're, 21-12 now without Tatis? Every game they win without Fernando Tatis Jr. is a real mark for them. You know, Ha-Seong Kim has actually been pretty good for them.
Yes, he is, believe it or not, yes.
He's actually the best defensive shortstop they have. Now, I don't think they're going to move Tatis when he comes back. I mean, this shoulder thing, I mean, this is obviously the wrist with the motorcycle injury in the offseason. But the questions about his shoulder are really going to maintain. They played him in right field some last year. You know, the difference between Kim and Tatis defensively is significant. And if if Kim continues to hit well, I think they're going to have some choices to make. One of the real surprises for me has been, you know, a lot of the players who were such a big part of their success in 20 and 21, Jake Cronenworth, Trent Grisham, those guys haven't hit yet at all either. So not everything is going right for them offensively. But they're still fifth in the league in runs scored. Their underlying sabermetric stats look really good. A lot of that is, as you mentioned, because Eric Hosmer, who I think was traded to everybody but the Los Angeles Chargers in the winter time, is actually out here hitting .370.
Amazing. Yeah, he hit some big, big RBIs last night, hitting right behind Machado and giving him good protection. Joe Sheehan is with us. I love talking to Joe. And, Joe, tell us about the newsletter, where people can subscribe to it.
Yeah, actually turns 12 this coming week. I started the newsletter in May of 2010. I never thought at the time it would still run this far, but it's where I write about baseball. People might have read my work at Baseball Prospectus or Baseball America, Sports Illustrated. I've been writing and talking about baseball now for pretty much half my life, and I love it. I love getting to talk and write about the game. So the newsletter is where I do most of my work now. Definitely has a stathead perspective, Marty, as you know, but I like to think that the writing is the bigger focus. The people, if you're not that into the numbers, you'll enjoy it anyway. Just this last week, I wrote about the offensive levels in the game and things that might have to change. I wrote about the Detmers no-hitter. I did a notes column yesterday. I love writing about the game. So people should check it out. JoeSheehan.com. You can see excerpts. I posted a piece this week from the archives about the relationship between baseball and television. Check that out at JoeSheehan.com. You can get subscription information there as well.
Boy, let's talk a little bit of the analytics because I know runs are down, home runs are down to some degree. But what's going on offensively here? The pitchers that much better than the hitters? And what do the numbers really tell you fifth of the way into the season?
The tools that have come about to help players develop have definitely favored the pitchers more. With the high-speed cameras and the things you can do to figure out, okay, if I change my grip from this to this, it's going to make the ball do this. All of the science has really favored the pitchers. In addition to the fact the pitchers are just getting bigger and stronger over time. You go back 130 years for that. So now they have velocity and they have spin, and they're still standing just 60 feet, 6 inches away from the batters. So that's the biggest reason over time why strikeout rates have risen. And then you have now baseball putting and not being secret about it. They announced at the start of last year they were going to put a deader baseball in the game. It still comes off the bat as the way it always did, but it doesn't fly as far. It is designed to not fly quite as far. Remember, we had 6,700 home runs in 2019. Baseball wanted to get away from that. So hitters are facing the toughest pitchers that have ever lived, and when they actually do make hard contact, the ball isn't flying as far. And this is, you can look at things like the raw numbers, like, you know, the rate of home runs on contact, the batting average on balls in play. All of these numbers tell you the ball isn't flying as far. And then the people who look at, you know, Rob Arthur at Baseball Perspectives does great work with this, looking at the actual drag on the baseball. We can analyze that now with what's out there. And you can see that the ball just is basically being hit by the air resistance in a greater fashion than it was a couple of years ago. So the ball isn't flying as far. So the combination of tougher pitchers and a deader ball are producing what we're seeing today. I think baseball would like hitters to change their approach, to go to more of a contact-driven approach. The problem with that is that the pitchers are still witches. So it's one thing to say, well, change your hitting approach, but not do anything to bring in the pitchers. I wanted to move the mound back for a few years now. I think the mound's been in the same place for 130 years, and pitchers have gotten taller with greater extension than they throw harder. That, to me, is the single biggest dimension problem in the game. But if baseball's not going to do anything to reel in the pitchers while making life harder for the hitters, this is the baseball we're going to get.
Boy, and it's fewer runs scored, and the games are tighter. We're seeing it, but it's the fifth of the season, so we'll see where it ends up. But always interesting when Major League Baseball, it's the only sport that messes around with the ball. You can't do anything with football, basketball, but baseball throughout its history has always messed around with the baseball.
I think the biggest problem I have with it, Marty, is that we have a century of evidence that indicates that when run scoring drops, you look at the 60s, you look at the 70s, fans go away. When run scoring rises, like in the 1990s, fans come back. For all we talk about baseball purists and loving the 1-0 game, I like it all. You know, 1-0, 11-10, I'm fine. But there's pretty clear evidence that a lower scoring environment will chase fans away. And baseball has intentionally put that into play.
Interesting. Interesting stuff. You did write about the Reed Detmers no-hitter, which I thought was fascinating. Wonderful story about it. Wonderful column. The first Angels rookie since Bo Belinsky to throw a no-hitter. I love that name. But Detmers got 25 outs. He only had 2 strikeouts. How about that?
You just don't see that a whole lot. I mean, it was the second no-hitter in 40 years to have fewer than three strikeouts. It's also very rare for a pitcher to even have a complete game anymore with fewer than 3 strikeouts. And that's the really remarkable thing. So, yeah, and Detmers is that kind of pitcher. He's going to have success like in a crafty lefty sense. He's not going to miss a ton of bats. He's going to put up some fly balls. He's really a number 3 if it works out for the Angels. But we saw the other night that big breaking ball can be a weapon for him. Remember, he hadn't had a lot of success in the majors last year. He got battered from pillar to post last year. He had a high ERA coming into this start, but he was very effective, had great command, just the one walk the other night. So I think it was for an Angels team that has had a lot of things go right so far this year, that was something they needed to see because the starting rotation is definitely the weak point.
Yeah, good for the Angels. I hope they're in the race, and I think they will be. Of course, Houston's won 11 in a row, and now they got Mauricio Dubon. So who knows? He went from a team that has won 6 in a row to a team that's won 11 in a row. So that doesn't happen that often. Joe Sheehan is with us. We'll wrap it up. You are a New Yorker, and the Yankees 24-8. They're crushing the ball. Stanton and Judge, Maris and Mantle. And then you have the Mets on the other side of town doing what they're doing. How's New York baseball looking?
Pretty happy right now. I mean, nobody's printing Subway Series tickets yet, but that's because nobody wants to ride the subway anymore. if you look at the, I mentioned the Padres doing this without Fernando Tatis Jr. The Mets are doing it without Jacob DeGrom, and that surprises me that they've been this effective. Tyler McGill got knocked around his last couple of starts, but he's been effective. Obviously, the Max Scherzer signing has worked out for them so far. Their rotation with Chris Bassitt and Carlos Carrasco is deep enough to fade the loss of DeGrom for a couple of months. DeGrom just got a decent report on his shoulder. I think if you get him in the second half and you get 15 starts out of him, you got to be happy. The offense for them is really where, a year ago, Marty, I thought the Mets were going to have one of the best offenses in baseball, and they just didn't hit for any power. They had terrible numbers of runners in scoring position, which added to the problems. This year, they're one of the best line drive hitting teams in baseball. They're not hitting for a ton of power, but they've got a great contact rate, hitting a ton of singles. They draw a bunch of walks. Famously, they get hit by a lot of pitches too, which is controversial on the one hand, but hey, it helps your on-base percentage on the other. So no, I think they're for real. I do think the Braves are going to make a run here. You know, they've been shaky at the start of the year. The pitching hasn't really been there for them. They were missing Ronald Acuña Jr. for a month. I think those two teams will separate, the Mets and Braves. Not a big believer in the Phillies. And then, you know, we talked about them when they were playing the Giants early in the season. I still love the Marlins pitching, but they just can't score. So we'll see how that shakes out. But, you know, I'm sorry, you asked me about the New York teams. The Yankees, look, they lead the league in slugging. They lead the league in home runs, even with the dead baseball. It feels like one of Judge or Stanton hits a home run every day now. But the real thing for them, Marty, man, their pitching is fantastic. They have a pitching development program that, you know, I talk about all the tools that we have now to make pitchers better. They utilize those tools as well as anybody else. You think of a guy like Nestor Cortes, who bounced around to the Orioles, to the Mariners, back to the Yankees, and now he's turned out to be, you know, a number three caliber starter. Gerrit Cole is a true ace. Jordan Montgomery, coming off Tommy John surgery 3 years ago, has stepped in to be a contributor. Jameson Taillon, who missed a couple of seasons with the Pirates, has been very effective for them. So they have depth, and they have all of these relievers in the bullpen who just come in and wipe you out. Chad Green and Michael King, and of course, Aroldis Chapman at the end. So I think the focus on the Yankees is going to be the power, but it's the pitching that has them in first place.
Boy, great, great analysis. Joe, a pleasure having you on as always. A lot going on in baseball. A lot going on. We've only had 32 games. We've got a full summer ahead of us, another four and a half months. Pleasure having you on, and I wish you well, and I look forward to having you on again.
Thanks, Marty. Take care.
Yeah, very good. All right, Joe Sheehan. Check it out, joesheehan.com. The newsletter is terrific. All right, more coming up. Bill, Kerry, and I will kick it around a little bit, and we'll do that right after these messages. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.